Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we delve into the philosophical and mystical realms of Douglas Harding's classic, On Having No Head. This fascinating book, first published in 1961, embarks on a quest to dismantle the dualistic perspectives deeply ingrained within Western thought, like subject versus object, mind versus body, and self versus non-self. Harding guides us through a combination of empirical observations, personal introspection, and spiritual exercises drawn from Zen Buddhism and other Eastern traditions. His objective? To reveal a radically different way of seeing ourselves and the world. Douglas Harding, an influential English philosopher, mystic, and spiritual teacher, authored numerous profound works, including The Hierarchy of Heaven and Earth. Harding's brilliance was recognized by C.S. Lewis, a renowned writer and Christian theologian, who lauded Harding's work as a masterpiece of genius. On the other end of the spectrum, Harding's ideas in On Having No Head have been admired by Sam Harris, a leading figure in the new atheist movement and a respected neuroscientist, showcasing the wide appeal and significant impact of Harding's insights. Whether you're a student of philosophy from the East or the West, someone curious about the intricacies of consciousness, or an individual drawn to Zen Buddhism and spirituality, On Having No Head offers a transformative exploration of how we perceive ourselves and our surroundings. Join us as we uncover the essence of Douglas Harding's groundbreaking work, inviting you on a journey to see the world and yourself in a new light. On Having No Head, Zen and the Rediscovery of the Obvious. Introduction. Rediscover the essence of consciousness. Finding clarity beyond the obvious. Have you ever paused to wonder where consciousness truly resides? It's a question that might seem straightforward at first. The immediate response might be to point towards our head, the seat of the brain, the command center that processes thoughts, emotions, and perceptions. This line of thinking is backed by centuries of scientific inquiry and aligns neatly with our day-to-day experience. After all, we observe the world from behind our eyes, perceiving everything from what feels like the pinnacle of our physical selves. But what if we took a step back from these ingrained beliefs? By delving deeper into the raw, unfiltered experience of being conscious, we might stumble upon a revelation that veers dramatically from what we've always assumed. This exploration into consciousness invites us to peel back the layers of our preconceived notions, leading us to a profound discovery. Embark on this thought-provoking journey and you'll uncover the notion that consciousness can be likened to a headless expanse. The understanding of why this headless void forms the very foundation of our conscious experience and the insights Zen Buddhism provides in unraveling the profound implications of this perspective. As we dismantle the conventional wisdom that locates consciousness within the confines of our head, we venture into a space that is both bewildering and enlightening. This shift in perspective reveals a headless void, not a void of nothingness, but a boundless space of potentiality and awareness, free from the constraints of physical form. This fundamental essence of consciousness challenges us to rethink not only where consciousness resides, but also the very nature of our being. Zen Buddhism, with its rich tradition of probing the depths of the mind and existence, offers a valuable framework for understanding this headless void. It prompts us to see beyond the illusion of separation between the observer and the observed, leading us towards a more integrated, holistic view of consciousness. This journey into the heart of consciousness does more than just challenge our existing beliefs. It opens up new avenues for understanding ourselves and the world around us in a dramatically new light. As we embrace the concept of a headless void, we discover a cornerstone of consciousness that is both liberating and mystifying, inviting us to explore the infinite depth of our being. Part 1. A Journey to Enlightenment. The Moment That Changed Everything. In the transformative years of early adulthood, Life often presents us with moments that deeply impact our view of the world and ourselves. For the author, one such moment occurred when he was 33, casting an indelible mark on his perception and setting him on a path of profound reflection. The essence of this transformative journey was ignited by an experience so pivotal it reshaped his entire philosophical outlook. The core insight we're about to delve into originates from this singular event in the author's life, an experience that became the fountainhead of all ensuing philosophical explorations he would undertake. To fully grasp the depth of the concepts we're discussing, it's crucial to wind back the clock and revisit that life-altering moment. While walking amidst the majestic Himalayas, the author encountered a state of consciousness so unusual, it would forever change his understanding of reality. For a brief spell, he stepped out of the relentless stream of thoughts, interpretations, and the linguistic constructions that constantly fill our minds. He wasn't contemplating or analyzing, he wasn't even aware of his identity as a human being. His entire being was immersed in the present, fully engaged with the sensory experiences unfurling around him. As he surveyed his surroundings, his attention was particularly drawn to his visual perception. Beginning an innocent exploration, he traced the outlines of his physical body, noting his pant legs that culminated in shoes and shirt sleeves that ended in hands. However, when his gaze sought to find the culmination of his shirt front, he was met with an astonishing revelation. Nothingness. Atop his shoulders, there wasn't the head he expected to perceive. Instead, there was an inexplicable void. This absence, which he later referred to as the headless void, defied normalcy. Where logic dictated the presence of his head, he found an empty expanse. Yet, upon closer inspection, this space was far from void. It was brimming with the vividness of the Himalayan landscape. Grass, trees, mountains, and the azure sky filled the space where his head ought to have been. This absence of his head paradoxically made room for the inclusion of the entire world around him. In this surreal moment, the author realized another profound absence, that of himself, the observer. The magnificent scene before him existed independently, devoid of an eye to perceive it. It was a manifest reality, radiantly existing on its own, suspended miraculously within the void. Though such an experience may sound mystical or arcane, for the author, it was marked by an unparalleled simplicity. It infused him with a tranquil sense of joy and peace, heralding the beginning of a philosophical odyssey grounded in the beauty of that singular transformative experience. Part 2. A Shift in Perspective. Reimagining the Self in the Aftermath of an Epiphany. The fleeting minutes spent among the Himalayas had an enduring impact on the author, changing not just his views on consciousness, but fundamentally altering his self-perception. The transformation was so profound that it compelled him to dissect and reassess his pre-established notions of reality and his place within it. In the wake of this enlightening experience, the author was thrust into a state of introspection, questioning the very structure of his personal identity. Traditionally, he had envisioned himself much like a house, with his body forming the structure, his eyes acting as windows to the world, and his conscious self residing within, ever watchful through these windows. This architectural metaphor seemed intuitive, aligning with the way many of us picture our interaction with the external realm. However, when the dust settled from his Himalayan epiphany, this analogy began to crumble. Within the simplicity of his visual experience, he encountered anomalies that contradicted this model. Rather than peering through two windows, he realized his field of vision acted as one singular panoramic window, and even this didn't accurately capture the essence of his experience, as this window lacked any discernible frame. He was enveloped by a boundless expanse, the headless void, where the demarcation lines he expected to find simply didn't exist. The unraveling of his perceived reality didn't stop there. As he delved deeper, the concept of someone inside looking out also dissolved. There was no observer separated from the observed. There was only the profound unity of the void and the vivid tapestry of images it contained. This realization debased the traditional notion of perceiving reality as if from behind a lens or a screen. Instead, the images, the mountains, hills, and grass, weren't projections or reflections. They were immediately present, seamlessly integrated with the void. This seamless fusion left no room for separation or duality between the observer and the observed, the self and the surroundings. The author's experience distilled down to a singular, integrated view, an uninterrupted vista where the dichotomy of subject and object vanished. In this unique state, the complexity of existence was simplified to its purest form, a singular, unified reality where the distinction between the self and the universe blurred and ultimately disappeared. This seismic shift in perspective prompted a profound reevaluation of self-identity, challenging the author to conceive of his existence not as an entity separate from the world, but as intricately intertwined with the very fabric of reality. It was a realization that bridged the gap between the self and the cosmos, revealing an underlying simplicity and unity beneath the apparent complexity of existence. Part 3. Embarking on a Personal Quest, The Invisible Head Conundrum. Diving into the author's profound Himalayan experience might leave many scratching their heads, metaphorically speaking, of course. It raises a flurry of questions. What's the significance? How does such an experience impact one's understanding of self and reality? And, perhaps more puzzlingly, how did the author arrive at such seemingly esoteric conclusions? Let's embark on a little experiment, inspired by the author's revelations, to unpack these questions. This exercise is surprisingly straightforward, and you can try it right this moment. First, glance downwards towards your body. You'll notice your legs, arms, and torso without issue. But as your eyes trace your body's outline upwards, expecting to find your head, you'll encounter a peculiar discrepancy. Your head seems to have vanished from view. Herein lies a puzzling truth. You cannot see your own head. What greets your gaze atop your shoulders, where your head presumably should be? For those intently searching for their head, the answer might be a confounding nothing. It's as though there's a vacant space at the top of your body. Yet, if you scrutinize the content of this so-called vacancy, you'll find it's replete with the vibrant tableau of your current surroundings encapsulated within your field of vision. Depending on where you are, the specifics of this visual landscape will vary. Be it the hum of activity in a bustling cafe or the serene isolation of a quiet room, the diversity of your surroundings will fill this apparent emptiness where your head is expected to be. Despite this rich tapestry of sights, however, one thing remains consistently absent: your own head. No matter how fervently you search, turning your gaze in every conceivable direction, your head remains elusively out of sight, hidden from your own view. This intriguing phenomenon underscores a fundamental truth. While you may traverse the universe, exploring its vast expanses and delving into the microscopic intricacies of its smallest particles, the sight of your own head will always evade you. It's understandable if skepticism arises at this juncture, along with a barrage of questions and doubts. You're certainly not alone in this reaction. It mirrors the skepticism initially faced by the author when sharing his insights and experiences with others. But fret not. As we proceed, we'll venture deeper into these perplexing observations, exploring their significance and addressing the skepticism they inspire, while untangling the nuances of this invisible head mystery. Part 4. The Illusion of Seeing, Deciphering Visual Perception. At the heart of our exploration lies a seemingly simple yet profoundly perplexing assertion: you cannot see your own head. It's an idea that verges on the absurd, prompting a mix of confusion, skepticism, and curiosity. This statement not only challenges our basic understanding of perception, but also invites us to question the very nature of reality as we perceive it. Before diving into the implications of this idea, let's first address the initial, instinctive objections that naturally arise. One of the first rebuttals to this notion points to the apparent ease with which we can view our head in a mirror or capture its image in a photograph. On the surface, this seems to directly contradict the claim. However, when we scrutinize what we truly observe in these scenarios, the picture becomes more nuanced. When you look at a reflection or a photograph, what are you really seeing? The answer is primarily splotches of color arranged in a familiar pattern. Labeling these arrangements with familiar terms from our daily lexicon, we might confidently say we see our head. But this process of identification comes after the fact, after our brains have already processed and interpreted these splotches as representative of our head. The reality, however, is that we are not directly seeing our head. Rather, we see a representation, an interpretation made by our minds. The skepticism might further extend to our ability to see parts of our head, such as our nose, by simply looking downward. Yet, upon careful observation, what we actually see are more splotches of color that our mind subsequently identifies as our nose. But is that truly seeing our nose? If presented with similar splotches on a blank canvas, would we recognize them as a nose or merely as abstract shapes? Consider the essence of what a nose truly is: a complex three-dimensional structure composed of skin, tissue, and various biological elements. The splotches we see, whether in a mirror, a photograph, or at the fringe of our vision, are far removed from the intricate reality of a nose. They are merely visual signals that our brain interprets based on familiarity and context. As we delve deeper, it becomes apparent that our visual perception is not as straightforward as we might believe. It's built on a foundation of interpretation and categorization, a complex process where our brain continuously constructs and reconstructs our reality. Moving beyond these initial objections opens the door to a broader, more intricate understanding of how we see the world and ourselves within it. This journey into the nuances of perception is only just beginning, challenging us to look beyond the surface and question the very nature of what it means to truly see. Part 5: Exploring the Illusion of Physical Presence. Our journey through challenging conventional perceptions continues, and it's time to push the envelope further, extending the insightful inquiry from our head all the way down to the rest of our body. Picking up the thread of our previous conversations, let's confront another misleading intuition: that we can actually see our body in its entirety. This assumption, while widespread and seemingly self-evident, crumbles upon closer scrutiny, much like the earlier case with our head. Just as you can't truly see your head, it turns out you can't fully perceive your body either. This realization may come as a surprise. After all, a quick glance downward confirms the presence of feet, legs, arms, and torso. Yet when we pause to examine what we're genuinely observing, without the automatic interpretations our minds impose, we're met with a startling revelation. All we encounter are various shapes and hues, akin to the aforementioned splotches of color identified as our nose. But here lies the crux of the matter. Are these shapes and colors truly our body? When we look at our torso, for instance, we see a bounded form clothed in fabric, presenting specific shades and contours. But does this visual input equate to the torso we conceive of? A complex anatomical structure composed of bones, muscles, and organs? The straightforward answer is no. What we perceive as our torso, or any other body part, through our vision is merely a visual representation, a simplified placeholder for the intricate three-dimensional entity we know from biology and personal experience. The implication of this insight is profound and somewhat disorienting. If our direct sensory experience of our body is reduced to mere perceptions of shape and color, then can we truly claim to see our body as it is? The observation applies universally across our bodily perception, suggesting that our entire physical self, as we visually perceive it, is an elaborate interpretive construct rather than a direct apprehension of reality. This recognition throws us into deeper philosophical waters. If both our head and the rest of our body elude our direct visual perception, what does this say about the nature of consciousness and our engagement with the physical world? It suggests that much of what we take for granted about our personal existence and how we inhabit our bodies is mediated by layers of perception and interpretation. The unfolding narrative of this exploration reveals that what we consider to be the most immediate aspects of our existence, our own body and head, are, in fact, not as directly accessible as we might have believed. This leads us to ponder the extent to which our conscious experience is shaped by these perceptual filters and what lies beyond them. As we navigate through these philosophical undercurrents, the journey invites us to reconsider the boundaries of self-awareness and the mystery enveloping our conscious experience. The dialogue between apparent objections and deeper truths not only enriches our understanding, but also opens new vistas for contemplation. Part 6. Navigating the landscape of perception, bodies, minds, and beyond. As we further delve into the depths of our perception and existence, we find ourselves momentarily adrift, having seemingly relinquished not just our physical heads and bodies, but teetering on the brink of questioning our very sanity. The proposal that we might not actually possess heads or bodies in the way we conventionally understand seems, on its surface, to flirt with the absurd. But is it truly as far-fetched as it appears? The crux of this discussion rests on a daring notion. The assertion that we lack heads and bodies may carry more weight and reasonability than initially presumed. At first glance, refuting such a claim should be straightforward. After all, we are equipped with a rich array of sensory experiences that affirm our physicality. We feel the weight of our limbs, the brush of air against our skin, and the gravitational pull on our bodies. Surely these sensations provide irrefutable evidence of our physical existence. However, when we strip away interpretive layers from our sensory experiences, what remains? A collection of raw sensations, aches, tingles, warmth, and pressure. Even when paired with our visual experiences, do these sensations unequivocally confirm the presence of feet, torsos, or heads? Upon closer inspection, we find ourselves interpreting these sensory inputs, crafting an elaborate narrative of physicality that aligns with our beliefs about bodies and their parts. Yet these sensations in themselves do not constitute a foot, a torso, or a head. Thus, we are confronted with a startling realization. Our direct experiences do not furnish us with incontrovertible proof of external objects we typically identify as our bodies. Instead, we possess an amalgamation of perceptions and sensations from which we infer the existence of our physical selves. These inferences, while deeply ingrained, are constructs of the mind, hypotheses rather than established truths. This realization beckons us to consider the possibility that what we hold as indisputable fact, the existence of our bodies as we perceive them, might be more accurately described as a set of assumptions shaped by our sensory interpretations. But what about the empirical evidence offered by science, the beacon of objectivity and rationality? Surely, the scientific lens provides a counter-narrative to this philosophical contemplation, one grounded in physical reality and observable phenomena. As we prepare to examine the scientific perspective, we venture into a dialogue between philosophical inquiry and scientific empiricism, navigating the intricate interplay between subjective perception and objective reality. This journey through the nature of consciousness and physical existence invites us to question and explore, not just to unveil the mysteries of perception, but to deepen our understanding of the boundless landscape of human experience. Part 7. Through the Looking Glass, the Unsettling Perspective of External Testimony. As our exploration of consciousness and the nature of existence delves deeper, it takes a more audacious turn with a claim that can shake the very foundation of our perceived reality. Despite the evidence of our senses, we might not have a body, much less a head. This assertion, growing ever more radical, naturally invites skepticism and a common sense challenge, urging us to consult with others to validate our physical existence. At face value, seeking confirmation from others seems like a straightforward solution. The logic is simple. If everyone else acknowledges your physical form, surely that consensus stands as irrefutable evidence of having a body. Yet, here's where the water's muddy. The testimony of external observers does not inherently disqualify the idea that we may lack bodies. This is because the external observers are not privy to any special insight regarding your body that you lack. Their perceptions, just like yours, are limited to visual inputs, a collection of colored shapes, textures, and dimensions. Their sense of touch or smell offers no more a confirmation of your body's existence than your own sensations do. Essentially, their experiences, filtered through the same sensory limitations, offer a subjective interpretation of reality, mirroring yours. But could expert observation, particularly from a scientific standpoint, offer a more concrete foundation? Scientists, armed with sophisticated tools like microscopes and scanners, can indeed delve deeper into what is perceived as the human body, revealing aspects beyond ordinary visibility, organs, cells, and molecules. Yet once more, we encounter a striking realization. Even the most detailed scientific observations boil down to interpreting complex patterns of colors and shapes. The intricate images rendered by cutting-edge technology, while offering a more nuanced view, are nonetheless constructs interpreted from visual data. Furthermore, scientists can construct comprehensive models explaining the workings of the brain, arguably the most complex and essential organ linked to consciousness. Through a scientific lens, the brain is not just a part of the body, but the epicenter of conscious experience. This understanding provides a powerful framework for explaining many aspects of our existence, but still hinges on interpreting sensory data, including visual cues from advanced instruments. So, could a deeper scientific understanding of the brain and consciousness ultimately dispel the unsettling notion of not having a body? This question leads us into a territory where the boundaries between scientific inquiry and philosophical speculation blur, challenging us to reconsider not only the nature of our physical existence, but also the very basis of cognitive perception. As we stand at this crossroads of knowledge, the inquiry into whether the detailed scientific model of the brain and consciousness can satisfactorily address our existential conundrum invites us to reflect on the limitations and possibilities of human understanding, a thought exercise that challenges the core of our perceptions and beliefs. Part 8: Unveiling Consciousness Through the Lens of Science. Diving deeper into the enigma of human consciousness, we return to the point where our inquiry began, the phenomenon of vision. By exploring how modern science elucidates this aspect of consciousness, we encounter illuminating insights that align surprisingly well with the provocative claim that, in essence, we do not possess bodies in the way we traditionally understand. To simplify a complex narrative, let's examine the scientific account of how we perceive something as straightforward as a mountain. According to contemporary scientific understanding, the process begins with light reflecting off the mountain's surface and traveling to our eyes. This light initiates a series of chemical reactions within the retina, stimulating cells sensitive to light. This stimulation generates signals that travel through the nervous system, ultimately reaching a specific region in the brain, where these signals are translated into the visual experience of seeing a mountain. This terminal station within the brain, a conceptual grand central station of perception, serves as the crucible where consciousness as we experience it materializes. It is here in this nebulous convergence of neurobiological activity that our entire sensory world is brought to life. Every texture, color, sound, and taste we perceive, every thought and emotion we experience, all are orchestrated within this enigmatic theater of consciousness. The narrative furnished by science, assuming its accuracy, lends unexpected support to our initial proposition. It suggests that what we perceive as external realities, like the mountain, aren't discrete entities existing independently out there. Instead, these perceptions are internal constructs, images fashioned within the mind, corresponding to neuronal activities. Extending this logic, all sensations and perceptions are revealed to be internal experiences, correlates of distinct neurological patterns. Synthesizing this scientific perspective, we are presented with a picture of consciousness composed of variegated sensory experiences, colors, sounds, tastes, and so forth. These building blocks of perception knit together the tapestry of our conscious experience. Yet, when we strip away the interpretations we impose, what remains are the raw constituents of our sensory world, essentially the splotches of color and their kin we've discussed. Our interpretations of these sensory inputs, though they feel immediate and concrete, are themselves nested within the broader expanse of consciousness. This realization beckons us to confront a profound implication. The physical reality we navigate and the body we presume to inhabit might be less tangible and more malleable than we assumed. They are interpretations born out of the dance between our sensory inputs and the mind's capacity to weave them into a coherent narrative of existence. Thus, the scientific exploration of consciousness doesn't just illuminate the mechanisms underpinning perception, it also invites us to reconsider the very nature of reality and our place within it. In this light, the assertion that we lack bodies, as traditionally conceived, becomes less a refutation of physical existence and more an invitation to apprehend reality through a new, transformative lens. Part 9. Perception Without Boundaries, Reevaluating the Canvas of Reality. In the climactic conclusion of our journey, we return to the author's transformative realization amidst the breathtaking vistas of the Himalayas. Here, devoid of the head that ostensibly serves as the perceiver's vantage point, we're invited to immerse ourselves fully in the panoramic expanse of direct experience. At the core of this profound insight is the realization. As far as we can tell, there's nothing beyond our immediate experiences. Embarking on this sensory exploration, we're surrounded by what we've learned to name mountains, hills, and grass. Yet, stripping away the layers of language and concept, what remains is a vivid tapestry of colors and forms. These names we assign and the wealth of knowledge they invoke are but layers we overlay upon the raw tableau of our perception. Consider, for example, the patch of green we label grass and the imposing silhouette we call a mountain. Our intellect tells us that, in physical reality, a blade of grass is dwarfed by the grandeur of a mountain. Yet, this comparison hinges on the inference of distance. A conceptual leap we make based on the apparent size of these objects within our field of view. However, diving deeper into the essence of our visual experience, we encounter a realm devoid of such distinctions. Here, in the unfettered landscape of perception, there exists no measure of distance, no delineation between observer and observed. The shapes that inhabit this field, regardless of what they represent in physical space, share an equal presence, much like strokes of color on an artist's canvas. Yet upon closer reflection, we realize the analogy of the canvas itself implies a backdrop, a tangible surface upon which reality is cast. In our direct visual experience, however, such a substrate is conspicuously absent. The forms and hues that populate our perception stand alone, unanchored and devoid of any deeper spatial context. In this moment of clarity, we apprehend that our attempt to project depth and separation onto this tableau is an act of mental construction. The distinctions of near and far, here and there, are not inherent to the perception itself, but are instead interpretive layers we impose upon it. This insight unveils a radical perspective on existence, where the immediacy of our sensory world is not a gateway to an external reality, but is the entirety of reality as we can know it. In this boundless perceptual field, there is no space for an observer distinct from the observed, no divide between self and surroundings. There is only the continuous expanse of experience, vibrant and immediate, without beginning or end. By embracing this unfiltered immersion in the present moment, we're afforded a glimpse into a realm of consciousness untethered by the constructs of distance, separation, and physicality. It's a realm where the only reality is the ceaseless unfoldment of perception, a dancing kaleidoscope of sensation, where the notion of a canvas behind the colors dissolves into the pure immediacy of experience. Part 10, Embracing the Paradox, The Infinite Value of Nothingness. Navigating through the intricate web of consciousness, we've arrived at a paradoxical conclusion that seems to sit at the very epicenter of our understanding. Nothingness is not merely a void, an absence to be overlooked or dismissed. Instead, it embodies the very essence of consciousness, warranting profound contemplation and appreciation. Nothingness is at the heart of consciousness. It's a statement that may initially perplex or even unsettle. Yet, this understanding unlocks a profound truth about the nature of experience and existence. Consider the hypothetical scenario where your visual field is occupied entirely by your head. Such a circumstance would transform your field of vision into a closed-off realm, precluding any glimpse of the world beyond. It is precisely the absence of your head within your direct line of sight that ushers the entirety of the world into view. This headless void becomes not a lack, but a canvas, limitless and expansive, inviting the full spectrum of visual experiences to unfold before you. Through this lens, the absence of your head isn't a deficit, it's the very condition that permits the world to reveal itself. While our journey has primarily navigated the realm of visual perception, this principle extends to all sensory experiences. Silence is not merely the absence of sound, but the foundation from which all sounds can emerge and be distinguished. Similarly, the unflavored void is a prerequisite for the appreciation of taste, just as a base state of non-tactile neutrality is essential for the sensation of touch to be meaningful. This concept permeates the entirety of our conscious experience, encompassing not only sensory perceptions, but our thoughts and emotions as well. The backdrop of mental quietude, the nothingness from which thoughts and feelings surface, is indispensable for their emergence and recognition. This exploration reveals nothingness as not just a peripheral aspect of consciousness, but its very core. Delve into any experience and you'll find at its foundation an expanse of nothingness, a void that isn't emptiness but potentiality, the fertile ground from which all phenomena spring forth. It's within this seemingly paradoxical void that the rich tapestry of our experiences is woven, painting the vibrant scenes of our lives. Focusing on this nothingness, we confront the essence of consciousness itself. Far from finding an abyss or a blank slate, we uncover an endless source of potential and presence. At the heart of consciousness lies not an absence, but an all-encompassing space. A realm where the totality of experience resides, waiting to be realized. In the end, the journey through consciousness brings us to a profound realization. Within nothingness, everything finds its place. The nothingness we've explored is not a void to be feared or avoided, but a gateway to understanding the boundless nature of our own awareness and the universe it reflects. Part 11, Reimagining the Tapestry of Self. A shift towards unity. Venturing into the heart of consciousness reveals a landscape far removed from the intricate dualities that form the backbone of Western thought. Grasping the essence of nothingness at the core of our being not only reshapes our understanding of consciousness, but beckons a radical reevaluation of the self, its relation to the world, and the very fabric of reality. This premise opens the door to a transformative perspective. If nothingness is indeed at the heart of consciousness, it invites us to transcend numerous entrenched assumptions that have long guided Western philosophy and introspection. Imagine attempting to distill the essence of human existence into its most basic components for an extraterrestrial observer. A conventional description might unfold along the lines of a set of biological and physiological facts, anchored by the presence of a body, a brain, and consequently, consciousness. This portrayal, deeply rooted in the Western canon, frames consciousness within a dichotomy of subject and object, internal and external, self and other, this taxonomy of dualities, mind versus body, self versus non-self, the mental realm versus the material world, scaffolds much of our conventional understanding of reality. It sets the stage for a narrative of separation, where the mind is seen as an observer, distinct and detached from the external world it perceives. However, a closer examination of our lived experience of consciousness challenges these divisions. The delineation between observer and observed, between thought and thinker, unravels. When we seek the subject, the thinker behind the thought, the perceiver behind the perception, we encounter, paradoxically, an absence. There isn't a clear demarcation, a tangible entity that can be isolated as the mind or the self, in contrast to an external universe of objects. Instead, there emerges a seamless unity of experience, a continuum where perceptions, emotions, thoughts, and the sense of self are intertwined in an indivisible whole. This revelation undermines the cornerstone of dualistic thinking, replacing it with a model of consciousness that is inherently non-dualistic. The traditional chasms between mind and body, self and world, dissolve into a recognition of continuity. Our quest for the foundational subject of experience reveals that the subject is the experience, a dynamic, ever-evolving process rather than a static entity. Embracing this understanding propels us beyond the confines of conventional wisdom. It challenges us to reconceptualize our notion of identity, not as an isolated ego residing within a physical vessel, but as an integral aspect of the boundless tapestry of consciousness. This shift from duality to unity, from separation to interconnectedness, disrupts many foundational assumptions of Western thought and opens up avenues for exploring a more holistic, integrated understanding of consciousness and our place in the cosmos. By accepting nothingness as central to our experience, we embark on a journey towards a profound and enriching redefinition of self, one that acknowledges the intricate dance of existence where everything emerges from and returns to the void, the magnificent nothingness at the heart of being. Part 12. Nothingness and Enlightenment, a journey through Zen wisdom. As we navigate the intricate nuances of nothingness at the heart of consciousness, it's intriguing to discover that these reflections find profound resonance in the ancient teachings of Zen Buddhism. This connection reveals a rich tapestry of understanding about the nature of self and the universe that transcends time and cultural boundaries. Zen Buddhism, with its emphasis on direct experience and the cultivation of insight, offers striking parallels to the author's revelations during his Himalayan venture. As he delved into various texts spanning philosophy, religion, and poetry, the teachings of Zen masters stood out, mirroring his own experience and offering a language to articulate the ineffable. Consider the enlightening story of Tungshan, a 9th century Zen master, whose pivotal moment of understanding arrived as he gazed upon his reflection in a pool of water. This encounter illuminated the Heart Sutra's teaching that the body is merely emptiness, and there is no eye, no ear, no nose. In this moment, Tungshan recognized the divide between the image there in the water and the transparent void here in his consciousness. This visceral realization bridged the gap between conceptual knowledge and lived experience, leading him to a profound understanding of Zen, eventually founding the largest sect of Zen Buddhism, Soto. Fast forward to the 16th century, where the Zen master Han Shan experienced a similar epiphany. As he walked, he suddenly recognized that he had no body or mind, but rather was part of one great illuminating whole, omnipresent, perfect, lucid, and serene. This narrative underscores a central theme in Zen: the realization of the non-duality of existence and the interconnection of all things. These episodes from the lives of Zen masters underscore a vital insight about serenity and the vision of reality they share with the author's experience. Within this vision, the perceived barriers that separate us from the world dissolve, revealing that there is, in essence, no us at all. This realization challenges the deeply ingrained dualities of subject and object, self and non-self, and the dichotomy between the internal mind and external world, presenting instead a unified field of experience. But what do we find within this nothingness, this void at the center of our being? Far from an empty abyss, it is filled with the entirety of the world, a headless expanse where all of existence unfolds. This recognition brings with it a profound peace, an acknowledgement that what we perceive as nothingness is, paradoxically, everything. It's an understanding that our individual consciousness is not isolated but part of a greater luminous whole that is self-contained perfection. By drawing on the wisdom of Zen, we see that the exploration of nothingness and the quest for conscious awareness are not merely philosophical exercises, but pathways to a deeper understanding of existence and enlightenment. In this light, we grasp that the journey through the void returns us to the world, transformed and serene, ready to embrace the unity and boundless wonder that life offers. Final summary. In the pursuit of understanding consciousness, what if the journey inward reveals not the complexities we anticipated, but an elegant simplicity and a profound paradox? When we peel away the layers of preconceived notions and delve directly into our experiential reality, we uncover a truth that challenges the very foundations of how we perceive self and the world. This revelation does not present us with the familiar dualities that have long defined our thinking. There's no tangible divide between the observer and the observed, no clear separation between mind and body, nor a distinct boundary delineating self from the non-self, or an internal mental realm from an external physical world. Instead, what emerges from our exploration is an experience of consciousness that transcends these dichotomies, revealing a state of being far removed from our ordinary assumptions. At the center of this experiential universe lies a headless void, a field of nothingness that, paradoxically, encompasses the entirety of our experience. This void is not a mere absence, but the very precondition for the presence of everything we perceive and know. It is a space devoid of ego, of the constructed self, yet it is replete with the vivid tapestry of life that unfolds within and around us. This shift in perspective invites us to reevaluate deeply ingrained beliefs about consciousness and selfhood. By recognizing the headless void within, we acknowledge a state of interconnectedness that dissolves the illusion of separation, revealing an underlying unity with all existence. Our exploration brings us to a place where the perceived boundaries of self blur, merging into the boundless expanse of consciousness that is both nothing and everything. In this newfound understanding, we are called to embrace the void, not as a nihilistic retreat into emptiness, but as a gateway to a richer, more integrated experience of life. It is here, in the heart of nothingness, that we find the potential for true understanding and serenity, a serene acceptance of the mystery and majesty of being. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.